to know him, whenever he's in your presence, in your room or in the way you are, he brings a good thing with him. He brings the Lord with him. And I'm always blessed by your encouragement, brother, when you come around. So thank you so much. And thank you for what you're going to come here. And thank you for being willing to bring God's word to us today. Charles has been a member of IBC for about 18 months, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
Let me pray for you. I thank you for our brother Charles, Father. I thank you for his love for you because you have loved him. We thank you for his testimony we've heard before and about how you drew him graciously to yourself. And we thank you for how you've kept him on all the years so far. We thank you for laying this message for us on his heart. Fill him, Holy Spirit, and free him to deliver the message and free us to hear your word, Father. Use it to feed us and to build us. For your glory, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 Oh, you know, heaven is like IBC. Heaven is like IBC. In heaven, we have all kind of nations. You see me, you see Chinese, you see Indian, you see everybody. So if I say hallelujah, you say, God be the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, I know some African preachers are coming in this home. We thank God. We like noise. So when I preach, you have to preach with me. Don't let me preach alone. Majesty, I cannot bow. I give my all before you now. In royal robe, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. One more time, please. Your majesty, I can but bow. I give my all before you now. In royal robe, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. Amen. Before his saints to stand here today, I thank the authority of this church because to give me this opportunity, it's not easy. But they say I should stand here in front of the saints and proclaim the good news to you. My first thing I will say is I'm going to speak about a rooftop. The rooftop has been so good to me. I don't know, but if you come to the meetings of the rooftop, you will be also be blessed. Hallelujah. The rooftop have a mission. He said that joining Jesus in his mission, joining Jesus is his mission, is our theme of the rooftop. The rooftop. Now, what is the mission of Jesus? The mission of Jesus, I asked myself and said, what is the mission of Jesus that I should join him? Then the book took me to Luke chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. Shall we go there? Oh, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. Holy Spirit, take control. Luke chapter 4. When we see the Luke of chapter 4, verses 17 to 19, You will learn a little bit about the, yeah, to help you. Thank you. Luke chapter 4, verses 17. And I read, "And when he has handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, to send liberty to those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Hallelujah. You see something here? The people didn't know the mission of God, the Christ. But when he opened the book and read this portion to them, the mission became clear. Because Christ did not come to just do wonders, to raise the dead, to walk on the sea. No. This was why, the reason why he came. He said he came as a messenger. He came that he may proceed this word that it has been given from Isaiah, but nobody was able to fulfill it. But Christ came that this portion will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So the people got understanding that, you see, the Messiah, there they start to, because he did not say anything that is new, but he said something that it has been told already by Isaiah. So his message, his mission was this very portion. He said, because he's been anointed to preach. So preaching was the message of Christ. As we learn from the rooftop tells us more about Jesus and his mission. What is the mission of Jesus? So, the mission of Jesus continued. Because Jesus knew that he was going to die and go away from the world. So, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1, he said something. We are going to make long readings today. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1. I want to tell you the reason why we should go out and preach. Because Jesus himself here said to the, when he said to the, his people, he said that I am here because I've been anointed to preach the good tidings of the Lord. He is anointed to bring you the good news. Hallelujah. And when we go to Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, he said something. He said, "And when he has called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. He gave them power over unclean spirit to cast out unclean spirit. Then, and to heal the, and he, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Then when we proceed to verses 5, he said, "These 12 Jesus sent them, commanding them, saying, 'Do not go into a way of the Gentiles and the way of the Samaritans. Here, I want you to follow me kindly. Jesus said to them, don't go to the way of, when Jesus was commissioning them, he said, don't go to the way of the Gentiles, neither go to the way of the Samaritans. But continue, he said, go to the lost ones of Israel. What Jesus wanted to say was that not that the preacher should not go to the Gentiles, but he said that they should clean their household first. If you want to speak the message to you want to bring the message across, check the people within you. Check your household, check your friends, check your community, check your working place. Speak the gospel there before you go to anywhere. Because he said, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go to the lost ones of Israel. Because he knows that Israel must hear the word before even you can go to the Gentiles. So you do your homework here first, around you, at your community, at your working place, those who are near you, speak the word to them, preach to them, before you can go outside. You cannot just wake up, you cannot just wake up and go outside to preach whilst your community, your household, has not heard the word. So the rooftop wants to tell us that we should go out and preach, but first we should preach in our homes, our surroundings, our neighborhood, our working place, before we can go out. Most of the times we say to the people, oh, they are atheists, they are unbelievers, they are drug addicts. Okay, don't go to them, but rather go to the people that are around you. Hallelujah. Because if you speak the word to your people around you, before you can go out and share the word. So as we proceed, we have the word spoken by the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. Are we there? There we are going to speak about the rooftop. Because Jesus Christ wanted the people to understand that clean your home first before you go outside. So after he commissioned these people, and after he died and gave them the power of the Holy Spirit and things like that, they were all in one accord. But they were within themselves. They have not yet reached the Gentiles. Till the day that God himself showed Peter this vision. Hallelujah. And it's a long reading. The book of Acts chapter 9. There is where we doing the rooftop, there is where we based. He said that, I will make it short. When Peter was in the rooftop praying, God showed him a trance. And the trance that he showed him was the time he break this community preaching, because then Jesus has gone and they were preaching just to the Israelites, and then they were not going to the Gentiles because they were keeping in mind that Jesus said, "Don't go to the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans." So now a time came that God himself showed them that now you have preached enough in your home. Now go out and preach to the Gentiles. Then Peter said to God, oh God, after God has brought the trance from heaven and show him the four corners of the world, north, south, east, and west, that go ye to all the nations and preach the gospel, Peter argued with God and said to God, God, you know that I'm a Jew. I don't go to places where I am not authorized to go. Like, I don't preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And then God said to him, he said, why do you say a Gentile? Or to the Bible, he said, kill all the animals and eat. And Peter said, oh Lord, you know that I have not eaten any animal uncommon. So God said, why do you say uncommon? Here, God was telling them, go out to the north, south, east, and west and preach the gospel. But then, Peter was arguing with God that I cannot go out and preach the gospel because I am a Jew. And God said, why do you say something that me, God, have called, have prepared with, have made myself, you call uncommon? So now somebody is standing at your doorstep. Go with them and you go and face Cornelius. Hallelujah. This was when the chains were broken that the gospel can spread. The gospel came out from, we all will know that the gospel came out from Israel. And if it's not the will of God, we the Gentiles, we were outcast. But he knew that at the appropriate time, he would reach us. So he said to Peter, Peter, go and preach to Cornelius. And when Peter went to Cornelius, he saw that even God has prepared the heart of Cornelius already. So that is how we are going to face the people that we are going to preach to. God has prepared their heart already. God has made them, their heart, God knows them and he knows their heart. So the moment you go there, you open your mouth and then they flow. God is making his own way. Don't think that God, I cannot preach to the atheists. I cannot preach to the alcoholics. I cannot preach to the unbelievers. No, God has made a, God has touched their heart before you get there. So what I want to say now is, now by the rooftop exercising, we have seen that we are the apostles. We have to go there and preach the gospels. No matter how they are, we start from our home and then we go out to the Gentiles. The Gentiles means those who don't believe there is God. The Gentiles believe those who are atheists, those who are lost sheep. Hallelujah. And they are the one we are going to face. But the moment we start with rooftop, we say, we're joining Christ in his mission. The mission of Christ is to speak the good tidings to the world. And the moment we start preaching, God himself has taken place already. He has taken control over them already. Hallelujah. So all we need is to bring the word. After we bring the word, he is going to... Because if you read the book of Acts, Cornelius did not know God as a Jew. But according to the book, they say he was doing good in the sight of God. His arms has already reached God. Then God knew him. Hallelujah. Before Peter even make a step to go there, God has already touched his heart and talked to him. Before you go, God has talked to the one you have in mind to talk to. God has already convicted him. So all you need to do is to just walk there and bring the word to him. By the time you will be opening your mouth, you will see that the person has already received Christ. And most of the time, we speak to people, oh, who are you? You say, I am so and so. You say, what church do you attend? You say, oh, I don't go to church. Then we judge them. No. You don't need to preach the church to somebody. You need to preach Christ to the person. What church he will go after is not your duty. So if you preach Christ to the person and he accepts Christ, then he himself will choose to go to a church maybe nearby, or because we all here, some come from Roman Catholic background, some are Pentecostal, some are, but now we are here as a body. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to say is, we go to the people, we should not preach the church that we go. I go to IBC, I like you to come to IBC. No. But rather, we have to preach Christ Jesus and his resurrection to the people. Hallelujah. By preaching Christ Jesus to the person, To go to a church is not our duty. Because when Christ sent Peter to Cornelius and they received the Holy Spirit, after what Cornelius did with his life, Peter did not know. But then he said him and his household all got baptized and were saved. If a person go to take Christ, oh my brother, thank you, God bless you. You know, preaching is not easy thing. I can understand, Pastor. By shouting, you see that your throat is dried. One thing I want to also say is that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Who do men think I am?" And they brought out all kind of, some say you are the magician, some say you are Elijah, some say you are this. And then Peter said to him, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Blood," let's go there. In the book of Matthew 10, no, is it Matthew? Let me come out. Yeah, Matthew 16. Yeah. Matthew 16, verses 3 to 19 or 20. I will be very brief. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, chapter 13 onwards. He said, when Jesus came into a region of Caesarea in Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men says that I am? The Son of Man?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, and one of the Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to Peter, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter. He answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall never prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will bond in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. So now we all standing here, if you are with one accord with me, we are all Peter. We are all Peter's workmanship, because Christ said he will build his church on Peter. And when we are built on Peter, that means we are the church of Peter, who Christ himself said, "You are the rock. Upon you, I will build my church." So now, God is telling Peter to go to the Gentiles. God is telling Peter to kill and eat all the animals that came from north, south, east, and west. What are the animals? The animals are the people that God has created. We are the animals. Either we are African, China, Indonesian, we are the animals. He said, what do you say? He said in parables. So if you don't read the Bible carefully, you would think he's speaking of animals. He just lowered down the sheet with all animals on it. Then he said, Peter, you are hungry. You have prayed for a long time, and food is not ready. So Peter, kill and eat. But then Peter was saying, because he's a Jew, he don't eat something that is unclean. But here God tell him, what do you say is unclean? Me, God has created all this thing. What he wanted to say here is that, what do you say is unclean? I have created my people. Whether they are black, they are blue, they are green, they are my people. I say, preach to them. And you are saying you won't go and preach to them because they are not Jews. You see here? So God tells him, never call something that I, God, has created unclean. Don't call the people out there that they are donkeys, they are atheists, they are unbelievers, so you won't preach the word to them. This is what he means. Go to the people and preach the word to them. And we are saying, oh, we are Christians, you know, I'm IBC. You know, I don't mingle with these people. I was very happy to see my pastor last Saturday mingle with people. We were dancing. He did not understand the music, but he was dancing with us. This is what God wants us to do. If we stay around our church all the time and we say we are not going to mingle with the people, then we have let God be a liar. He said, kill and eat. The kill and eat means go and preach. Go to Cornelius' home and preach. And he was saying, oh Lord, I have never done something like this before. And God said, what do you call something that I have created? You will see somebody very dirty, as Pastor, you were saying the other day. If you go around Bahnhof there, you will meet people that they are very dirty. When they come to you, you will say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, what should... He said, God has created you. Mingle with them. Preach the word to them. Whoever they are, whatever nationality they are, go to them and preach the word. Hallelujah. So Peter was saying to God, oh God, you know me, I am... He said, no, even at your doorstep, some people are there waiting for you to go. And he went to the Gentiles and he saw what happened. And even when he came back, his own people were saying, oh, we heard that you have dined with the Gentiles. And he wanted to give him trouble. Let's put that aside. By all what I want to say is, we are all Peter followers. Because Christ has given us the mandate, the power. He, you know, if you read the Bible, he gave them the power even when they said to Sapphira and Ananias that they have lied. They died at the spot. This is the power Jesus installed to them. They had the power to even Peter raise the dead. They had the power to do all things that the Bible said. But then the power was within Israel. But now they break the boundaries, they break the borders, they break the barriers and went to the Gentiles to proclaim the good news. So that is what we have to do. The rooftop is teaching us a lot. It's teaching us a lot, because if you join the seminar of the rooftop, you will see that it encourages as he said, the three things are encounter, engage, and to expand. You encounter people that you yourself, you have no idea. And you will be engaged in some talks that you yourself, you have no idea. And you will expand to the extent that me standing here, I have expanded. If not, I will not be here to talk about rooftop to you. This is expansion. And the moment you learn about rooftop, you learn how to go out of your comfort zone to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Or to the, when he used the word Gentiles, he don't use the word Gentiles because we are not Jews. He used the word Gentiles for those lost souls. Hallelujah. Those out there who don't know Christ. That we should go and proclaim the good news to them. We should not go and tell them to come to our church. We should not go and tell them, oh, join me Sunday to church. No, but let him see that there is something in you that he eager to get the same thing. Let him see that Christ in you is your hope of glory. Let the person see that you have something special in you that he wants to also get. Hallelujah. And we go on. That rooftop have shared with us a lot of secrets that it can help us to go out and preach. A lot of secrets that we can use to tackle the people whenever they bring the question to us about Christ. Because if you know your Christ and you go out there, some people used to ask you questions that you yourself, you need to think 2 times before you answer. And rooftop will help you. Because rooftop show us something that we, the Christians, we used to say, oh, I am going to work for God. I am cleaning this place for God. You are not cleaning it for God. Because you can't do something for God. God is God, and you can't say, oh, excuse me to say, I am going to play music for God. No, it's wrong. You are going to play music with God. Because if God has not given you the bread, who will you be to go and clean the house of God? He said that we don't do something for God, but we do something with God. The rooftop show us, and we know this quotation from 2 Samuel, verse number 7. As David was rested, he conquered all his enemies, and he was rested in his home. He has eaten some good steaks, and he was very happy. Now he said to Naaman, I want to build a house for God. After, if you read the Bible, he said, after God has given him a rest from his enemies, he said, I want to build a house for God. And Naaman told him, do what your heart desires. So when they went to sleep, God came from heaven and told him, David wants to build a house for God. Do I ask David to build a house for me? After I have picked David from the dung sheep, he was a sheep boy, and I have put him as a king of Israel, I always dwell in tent and in outside the house. Now that he has gotten a rest, I have given him a rest from his enemies. He said, I want to build a house for God. You cannot build a house for me. I have never asked anybody from Israel to build me a house. If somebody will build me a house, I know you, David. He will come from your body, but not you. I, God, knows who will build me the house. And he said, this person that will build me the house, his kingdom shall be forever. God was not talking of Solomon, but God was talking of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, he said, Jesus will build me a house and his kingdom shall rest forever. Because David thought, oh, after I am dwelling in the house of cedar, let me build a house for God. And God told him, who are you to build a house for me? I will choose somebody who will build a house for me. So all the time we do things for God and we do it, what should I say? We do it maybe to please others. Oh, you know, I have been cleaning here all the time. I am the one who seek you for God. No. If God has not given you the strength, will you be able to come and sweep? You are working with him. You are not working for him. The rooftop told us about this secret, that whatever you do for God, put it in your mind that you are not doing it for God. Whatever you do for God is you do with God. Not for him. Because if I do something for you, it's like a favor I'm doing to you. If I do something for you, because maybe you need it and I do it for you. No, God don't need nothing from us. All he needs from us is to wake up every morning to give him praise. Hallelujah. He don't need your money. He don't need your... You cannot build him. This house was built years ago before we came here. God built his house before we came here. We are living here and enjoying here because God wants it to be. So we are not living for God. We are living with him. He has made his provision and we are living in it. So there is nothing we can do for him. So this rooftop thing is telling us that we should wake up. We should not be so, living in our comfort zone. We should wake up. Who whoever is around you, be sure, and your works, whatever you do there is the preaching. It's not preaching that you take the Bible and have a lot and trying to let everybody see that you are preaching. No. By your daily steps with God. Your daily steps with God must show a sign for your neighbor to see that, no, you have something that I need. Hallelujah. Yes, you have Jesus, and the Jesus you have, he would rather come. You cannot live and be in this church whereas you say you are God-fearful guy and your neighbors all hate you. My work I do is I deliver goods to people. And sometimes you go to somebody, you ring the bell, you say, nobody is there, you go to the neighbor, you say, please, can I leave this packet with you because the person is not there and I need to deliver the packet. You say, what name is it? You say, oh, her vice. What? Her vice? No, no, no. They close their doors. They just ignore you as if you are holding a bomb. Yes, they will close their door because the neighbor has shown some attitude to the person and he don't want to have anything doing with him. So if you are a rooftop Christian, some Christians who just ring the bell, they are not there. You ring the neighbor, they come out boldly. Say, for who is the pastor? You say, Helane. Oh, Helane. Yeah, don't wait. He used to come around. You can leave it with me. Such person, you see, pastor right now was talking about God first, treat your neighbor as yourself second. These are the people who treat their neighbor as themselves. So whenever you ring the bell, they come out boldly and want to take the packet. Oh, they know the timing of the neighbor. They know when he's there. I one time had an iPad. And the iPad, we don't just put it anyhow. You give the person must write its name and sign. And I wanted to deliver this packet before my time comes. Because if you don't make 100%, the next morning you will send the whole, it will be more packets that you send. So I was going around the house. Then an old man came out and he said, gentlemen, whom are you looking? I said, I want her Albert. Then he said, oh, you can give the parcel to me. They have gone on holidays. They come in 1 month time. You see what a neighbor is? You see, this person is not going to a church. But this person is somebody whose heart is, you know, God has touched the heart. Such person, if you go out to preach the gospel, you just knock the door and they welcome you. Oh, what do you want? You want tea? You know, they welcome you because God has worked them already. There are some very good people, guys, out there. We are all there. We were all there. Me, myself, standing here today, if it's not by grace, hey, you will never know me. I was a hippie. If we call of hippie, I think the elders will know. People that live from, you know, late Jim Henry's time, you know, to, you know, coming 7 days there. You see me? We were the people that, you know, were lost. When they talk of lost sheep, we were there. But we thought we were in, you know, Rasta man. Sometimes we used to go to the army barracks just to be friends with them. And when we get them as our friends, and when we go out, even the police fear us because they come with us and, you know, sometimes we used to go to St. Paul in Hamburg. And people will ask you, where are you from? I say, yeah, man, I'm from, you know, I don't say Jamaica. I say, I'm from Chicago, you know. You know? And the white people from Chicago, they don't even talk. But because I am with them, oh, man, where is you doing? Where are you going? Yeah, man, I'm from Chicago. I'm a dealer, you know. I've never been there. But because I have some friends that they will, you know, we were lost, completely lost. And I have been with people sitting down. That was 1972, 73 in Hamburg. I was with somebody. We went to a ship, a Nigerian ship, to bring some drugs into the land. We did the first one. The second one, my friend wanted to go alone. So we were sitting down, and he said no, he was going to some place he did not mention. Before we know, within some few hours, police came in our house, said we have to go to identify some dead bodies. I was really very sure. I was around 15, 16 years. So when they said that we should go and identify dead body, I was really shocked. And when we went, my best friend that, you know, he was training me to say, he has been gunned down, and I have to identify him. So all I could do was, you know, I was just shivering and did not know what to do. Even from then, I did not repent. I still go on doing the same business. But God knows the time that he has chosen for me. God knows the time that he has chosen for the people out there. So when Rufus says you should go out, you should go out because these sheep that God lowered it for me to see that they were creeping animals, they were four-legged animals, they were birds, they were everything. They are out there. And they are God's creation. So we should go there boldly and see the way to them. We should not, you know, we have soaked enough. Sometimes when the word comes, if you don't hear because you have it already. But what are you doing with the word? You have to go out there and give out the word. Let your deeds be seen. Yes, somebody will see you going up and down. He will ask you, where are you? Why are you so busy going every day up and down? And you can bring the word to the person. Oh, my neighbor, I am not going because I am going sick. I am going to worship my God. And if you say this to a neighbor, God will touch his or her heart. And the next time, the next word he will say to you is, oh, I would like to, oh yes, it happens many a time. They say, I would like to go with you to see that your God. Oh yes, here I can say no, but in Africa it used to happen. You're going up and down, you let somebody ask you, oh, I want to see that God you have been worshiping. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, and this God is a living God. This God is a God that we, the rooftop, that's why I want to invite you, never say the rooftop is for some people. The rooftop is for we all. It will teach you how you go about the gospel to bring the gospel to others. Hallelujah. Amen. I am a living testimony because the rooftop has changed me. I remember I was telling Marsh the other day, I went to a family because I used to take some goods to Africa. So somebody told me, you got a flipper, this hand football. So if I can carry with my car, I went there. And then they prepared a meal. That was spaghetti bolognese. Oh, I love it. So when they asked me to join them, I sat on their dining table. And they were ready. Oh, yeah, they took the food on my plate. And we were ready to eat. Then I said to them, can we hold our hands and pray? It was like a bomb to them. They said, what? Hold our hands? We have never done it. But if you want, we do it. So we hold our hands, and I did not know where the words came from. The Dutch was flowing like that. I pray in Dutch that the people were so marveled. And after we left our hand, the man said, oh, this is a good thing. We have never had this before. A prayer before my sight. We have never had it before. Then rooftop came to my mind. I said, this is how rooftop wants us to share the gospel. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we should let it be clear that God is on our side. Hallelujah. And with God, we can do all things. This afternoon, I'm not going to bore you. Next time they'll give me the pulpit, I will be very, very, very different. Because if I am preaching, I am preaching with fire. But because I am restricted to preach on rooftop, I preach what I have encountered for this short time. Hallelujah.
Amen. Any guy here in Bremen, people will testify, my brother is there. He will say something about it. I play heavy metal band. And I have played a lot of rock and roll bands. So what do you expect me? After rock and roll, you know, drugs and you know, they all belong together. So after playing, we will just go and blow our head off. But that was hell. That was hell. I thought I was, you know, who are you to preach the gospel to me? I thought the people preaching Christ, they belong to a different world. And we, the hippies, we belong to a different world. Till I got to meet my wife down there, and she said to me, "Hey, boy, I don't go that your way. If you want to go my way, let's go and worship God." I said to her, "You don't know the person you are talking to." Even the time we went to the prayer camp, I had about 10 bulls. 10 bulls mean 10 joints on me. And we were at prayer camp. We are doing fasting. Always I am in the bush. When they ask me, I say, "No, I like to take fresh air." You know, so a lost somebody like me that God has chosen, wash. Oh, Majesty, I will bow before you. Hallelujah. The Lord has been so good to me. I stand here to share this small testimony with you because God is real. If not, I would be by this time in the grave. But he said that he knew you and he predestined you. He knew where he wanted to take me. So if I am standing here today, it's by his grace and his own appointed time. That means somebody who don't deserve will stand here today and give him praise. May the glory be to our Most High God. I will sing one song and I will leave you here. You see, I have a wonderful treasure, the word of God without a measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I, hallelujah. I have a wonderful treasure, the word of God without a measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I.